If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
President Biden is set to have his annual physical later this month. Well, at least that's one probe that won't turn up any documents.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actor Natasha Lyonne, who currently stars in Poker Face on Peacock. But first, a closer look.
Republicans have been quietly hoping that Donald Trump will magically disappear as he kicks off a 2024 campaign that no one except his hardcore fans seem to want. And now there's a chance Republicans will get their wish as Manhattan prosecutors present evidence to a grand jury considering possible criminal charges against Trump in the Stormy Daniels hush money scandal. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It's very weird to see Donald Trump just out there campaigning for president as if he didn't orchestrate a coup to overthrow American democracy. It's like a burglar who climbed through a window, set off the alarm, scrambled back out, and said to himself, maybe I'll just go ring the doorbell. They probably won't recognize me if I take the mask off. He's hoping we all just forget about his coup attempt, like when George tried to show up to work on Monday after quitting on Friday.
The coup? You guys thought that was serious? You just don't know my sense of humor.
And as crazy as it may seem, Trump is already racking up endorsements from Republicans like Ohio Senator J.D. Vance and South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who explained his decision to back Trump this way.
I know the downside of Trump, but let me tell you about the upside of Trump. I am for Trump, not because of the flaws of anybody else. I'm for Donald Trump because I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get with herpes, too, but I'm not sure that's a selling point. Lindsey Graham's like Forrest Gump if all he ever did was sit on that bench. My meemaw always said, life is like a box of frozen shrimp you left out in the sun. You know exactly what you're going to get. Food poisoning. With that said, Lindsey isn't all wrong about knowing what you're going to get because Trump is just out there doing his usual shtick, flying from state to state, whining about all the stuff he usually whines about, like windmills.
We demand windmills be built on our oceans, our prairies, our mountains, and our plains, only to realize that they're killing all our eagles and our birds. If you kill a bald eagle, they put you in jail for 5 years. But the windmills knock out thousands of them. Nothing happens. And it's the most expensive and least reliable form of energy on the planet. And the wind turbines are all made in China. Some are made in Germany, but most of them are made in China.
Really trying to recapture that 2016 magic all over again. He's even leaning into the word China, except his voice is so much more degraded now. It used to be up here, China, but now he's down here, China. It's more... It's a growl. He sounds like a pit bull who smokes a pack of Marlboros a day. How about this? How about you fetch? You like the ball so much, stop chucking it around. Also, I like how he tells everyone in the audience, if you kill a bald eagle, you go to jail for 5 years, which definitely means that after this happened... Trump said, "I'm gonna kill that bald eagle." And someone told him not to because he'd go to jail for 5 years. But with a few exceptions, Republicans are all dreading another Trump campaign. That's the central problem they're facing right now. They all quietly want Trump gone, but nobody wants to be the one to stop him. It's like when you leave a window open and a bird gets in your house and your whole family's hiding behind the furniture and yelling ideas. Throw a blanket on it. Somebody make cat sounds. Put some bird seed on the windowsill. And then your drunk Aunt Vera just snatches it out of the air and stuffs it through the mail slot without setting down her Michelob. But unfortunately, the Republicans don't have an Aunt Vera to get rid of Trump. So far, the only other Republican who seems to be running for sure is Nikki Haley, Trump's former UN ambassador. But it's hard for me to imagine Haley gaining much traction in a race against Trump, given that she devoted herself fully to the cult of Trumpism and even pledged to support him if he ran again in 2024. And by the way, she said this in 2021 after the January 6th insurrection.
He still has a lot of popularity. If he runs again in 2024, will you support him?
Yes.
If he decides that he's going to run, would that preclude any sort of run that you would possibly make yourself?
I would not run if President Trump ran.
That was in April 2021, 3 months after the insurrection, and she still said she would support him. I mean, what changed? Were the Trump NFTs her breaking point? I will stand by insurrection and election tampering and financial impropriety, but when an adult man sells an NFT of himself as a superhero, I am out. Can you imagine what Trump will say about her if they're ever on a debate stage together? Nikki's very disloyal. She lied and said she wouldn't run against me. That's not nice. Plus, many people are saying she strangled a bald eagle. So Republicans are refusing to confront Trump head on, instead deciding to hope he magically disappears just like they did in 2016. One Republican told The Atlantic magazine, it's like 2016 all over again, only more fatalistic. And the writer of that piece told CNN that Republicans want Trump gone, but also have no plan for getting rid of him.
It was striking how consistently I heard the party needs to move on from Trump. We need to find a way to get rid of Trump. We're way better off with Trump. But then when I would ask, okay, what's the plan for that to happen? It would immediately move into hypotheticals. Maybe he'll get indicted and his legal problems will subsume him. Maybe he'll get bored and drop out. Maybe he'll lose his attention. Some people, clung to this long-held delusion that maybe he would become a different person and bow out graciously and make room for the next generation of Republican leaders.
Who are these people still clinging to the fantasy that Trump will bow out graciously? He can't even bow normally. Bow out graciously. When he lost in 2020, he sent an army of oath keepers and werewolves to kill his own vice president. The only reason Mike Pence got away is that he's a fast runner. And just imagine how much faster he'd be if he didn't also clap while he was running. Pence looks like an overeager dad running to the dance floor at a wedding. I was in the bathroom when I heard the DJ introduce the electric slide. Seriously, if you think Donald Trump is going to suddenly change his personality now, at the age of 76, after 8 years in politics and an attempted coup to stay in power, you're crazier than those QAnon people who think JFK Jr. is going to come back from the dead. It's never going to happen. If your personality changes at 76, you don't get credit. You get put in a home. I guess the only path that remains viable for Republicans hoping Trump will magically disappear without having to challenge him directly is an indictment, because Trump is facing a growing number of serious criminal investigations in a bunch of different jurisdictions. There's at least 2 grand juries looking into the coup attempt and the fake electors scheme. The Michigan Attorney General is also looking into the fake electors. A special counsel is investigating Trump's refusal to give back stolen classified documents. And a district attorney in Georgia has said charges could be imminent in the investigation of Trump's phone call trying to tamper with the vote count in the state. And on top of all that, prosecutors in Manhattan are reviving an investigation into Trump's secret hush money payments to cover up his alleged affairs during his first campaign.
A New York prosecutor is making a big move that could mean potential criminal charges for former President Donald Trump just as he ramps up for his third run for the White House. The New York Times says the Manhattan DA started presenting evidence to a grand jury today about Donald Trump's role in paying hush money to porn star Stormy Daniels during his first presidential campaign. NBC News has confirmed that the grand jury has been convened for this. Well, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, who went to federal prison for his role in the hush money payments, is now playing witness in this latest case.
Wait, they're investigating the Stormy Daniels case again? Man, They really are bringing back storylines from 2016. If they arrest Trump, I hope the FBI agent who puts him in cuffs rips off his mask and says, "Hello, Donald, it's me, Jeb." It's too bad you're handcuffed, or I'd tell you to...
Please clap.
Did somebody say, please clap? Well, you know, I think that's the last time we're going to use the clip of Mike Pence running and clapping. Unless, would it be fun to see what it would look like if the tarmac lights were hooked up to a clapper? I think it was a little bit of fun. Now, you might be asking, why are Manhattan prosecutors diving back into the Stormy Daniels case now? Well, for one thing, it was always very weird that the only guy who did any jail time was Trump's ex-fixer, Michael Cohen, even though it was Trump himself who orchestrated the scheme and even signed the check. They literally have his signature on a hush money payment for which one of his underlings went to jail. The only way it could have been more damning is if, in the memo, Trump wrote, "For hush money plus killing that bald eagle." And yet Trump wasn't charged. In fact, it seems like part of the reason prosecutors are reopening the case is that they came very close to charging him the first time. CNN reported the prosecutors had actually weighed whether to bring a case against Trump near the end of his presidency, but decided that the other investigations of Trump were probably more important. Days before Trump left the White House, federal prosecutors in New York discussed whether to potentially charge Trump with campaign finance crimes. Once he was out of office, prosecutors from the Southern District of New York developed significant evidence against Trump but decided to not seek an indictment of Trump because Trump's other scandals made the campaign finance violations seem somehow trivial and outdated by comparison. So basically, Trump got away with one crime by committing other even worse crimes. It's a classic legal strategy. People don't know this, but the Son of Sam only went on that killing spree so he wouldn't go to jail for shoplifting. Shoplifting his dog also told him to do. Take the Twizzlers, but don't pay for them. Seriously, who knew there was this giant loophole in the law where you could get away with one crime by committing an even worse crime? Are there commercials about this that I haven't seen? Are you worried about a parking fine? Are you under investigation for petty theft? Did you get caught shoplifting? Well, then call Myers & Myers right now. We'll help you stay out of jail by doing something way worse. Bank robbery, arson, even murder. We'll help you commit a much more heinous crime so prosecutors will let you off on your smaller crimes. The only thing we don't do is dog napping. Stop calling us and asking us if we do dog napping. We will not help lure your neighbor's dog into a burlap sack using sausage-flavored treats. Stop asking us to do that. We don't do that. Anyway, if you need help, call now. Myers & Myers personal attorneys. We'll help you beat the rep by doing even worse crap. Except for dog napping. And we also won't
kill a bald eagle.
This has been a closer look.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest tonight is an Emmy-nominated actress you know from her work in the critically acclaimed shows Orange is the New Black and Russian Doll. She executive produces and stars in the Peacock series Poker Face. New episodes stream Thursdays. Please welcome back to the show our friend Natasha Lyonne. Welcome back, Natasha. I'm so happy you're here.
I know I am happy to be here.
It's very lovely to have you here for a show that is just wonderful as well. We had the show's, one of the show's creators, obviously Rian Johnson, who wrote and directed it. And he's wonderful. And we were talking about, this is sort of a throwback to those sort of Columbo-style shows. Yeah. You play someone who can tell when people are lying, which is very good casting, because of all my friends, I feel like you have the best bullshit detector.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That was a lie, Seth. It's a weird...
But you gotta think you have a good bullshit detector.
Well, as a child, you know, I ran a small gang. The Bugsy Malone gang.
You, how old when you were when you ran your first
gang? You guys
gang?
Know them, I guess. We were notorious. I was about 7 to 10. It's all a blur back then. And yeah, so as a young pickpocket, it was, I guess, just a skill you learned out in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had to be streetwise, you
yeah.
see? That's what it was like back then. And, but, you know, the city, it's always changing. Gentrification.
Your good shift into
yeah,
gentrification.
I wanted to seem like I was from modern times. Yes.
You're talking about your street yeah. urchin gang that was picking pockets.
I didn't want to seem too old-timey.
Yeah, oh, nobody no. ever thinks you seem too old-timey.
I just don't want it to be alienating. I'm going to say things now like gaslighting.
Just oh, good. Yeah, good.
Bring it
modern.
In. Yes.
It's gaslighting. I know people say in yeah. modern time, but I don't think of that as a modern term since
no,
it came
a
from
famous,
a 50s movie.
Yeah, yeah, big, famous, yes. That's the reason I know the word.
Yes. That is the embarrassing thing when yeah. people start using something in social media and you're like, from the 1950s film. And they're yeah. like, you're an old man.
Yeah, they don't like that.
You,
keep it young, Seth, okay?
I'm gonna
keep it young. I asked you for one thing here tonight.
Keep it young.
Yeah. I do everything I do for the tweens. Yeah.
Eyes on Tweens. That's
eyes,
your.
Eyes on Tweens.
You have a new show
yeah,
that's on PBS.
On PBS. It's a Ken Burns creation.
Oh, that's great.
It's his first foray into fiction.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's exciting.
Now, you don't care for, because I don't consider what we're doing right now sort of classic small talk. You are yeah. not a small talk aficionado.
Don't believe in it.
You don't believe in it?
No, I would say I aggressively don't like it. I think it's damaging to society as a whole.
And do you feel this way about receiving it as far as also for asking it?
Yeah, I don't like it in any of the directions.
Okay.
It's like John Lennon says, just give me some truth. And I've come here tonight to let you know those are my interests. I want to age into a sort of a Bob Dylan type figure and say things like that. But I think it's really dangerous because if you say to somebody, how are you? Their only option is to lie aggressively, right? Like, society says you're supposed to say, oh, I'm good, and keep it moving. But you're not good, are you?
No.
I mean, sometimes, rarely, but you should say something more like, you know, 50-50. And then the other person could respond with, like, me, it's a great day, 70-30. And on a human condition level, I think we'd all be well served. It would be more honest. We'd keep it moving. We could eliminate how was your weekend entirely.
Yeah.
So you agree?
Yeah. Now, do you think, can I make an argument for how was your weekend? An argument for
yes.
it being a thing you say when I walk into an office with one of my coworkers, a thing to say just so I don't immediately start talking and gossiping.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like an opener just before we actually get into the nitty gritty.
Sure. Listen, society functions in some ways.
Yeah.
For example, traffic lights, they're helpful. And that's what I'm sort of hearing from you in this moment is a traffic light.
Yeah,
sort of.
I want a little bit of signaling.
Yes, but might I propose the idea of a third thing.
Uh-huh.
In other words, arguably, it doesn't have to be a gossip at all. Maybe it would just be a third thing, sort of a topic, you know, like, oh, great microphone. You'd talk about the microphone for a while, and then you'd move on to the pencil and walk away.
So you know anything I mean? Not to ask about how you're doing or your weekend,
you know,
just drill down yeah. on the inanimate objects you can see.
That's what I like. I actually, you know, today I've been struggling with inanimate objects. We talked about it backstage. So maybe that's
it's so nice that you're being honest with the audience about the
I know.
Fact.
Natasha I had to listen to Marvin Gaye to get back in the
yeah.
zone before I came out
You were worried
here.
There were going to be props out here because you were certain you'd drop them.
Yes. And but as soon as I told you, I felt a sense of relief of now that probably won't happen.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of conversations people should be having.
Yes, there was value
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
I have a lot more to ask you about your wonderful show. We will be right back with the one, the only, Natasha Lyonne. Natasha Lyonne, everybody. You You shot this show all over, including Las Vegas, New Mexico. How
did
someone
say
like
so.
You, a city person mm-hmm. like yourself, how did you feel with a desert environment? Did you enjoy working there?
You guys don't know my
you guys
life.
Are, you're reacting. You're reacting like this is a gotcha question.
First of all, I will say, it's always surprising to me to hear the locations. I know I was there, but it's like a memory. But I don't love heat as a rule. I don't mind dry desert heat. I think I like the sort of the landscape, the expanse. But I don't love my hair. It's a lot of hair, Seth. It's like a sable coat. And what comes with that, you know, I write, I direct, I produce like gangbusters.
Oh yeah, and, one of our foremost producers.
Well, and I'm like a young Bob Evans figure, but we know this. The point is, when acting, there's a lot of touching involved. Which is, I like touch, but by choice.
I think that's what pretty much where everybody's landing these days.
Yes, yeah. Well, if we've learned one thing recently, and I'm like a cat that way. But, you know, such is the lot of the actress, which is how it's pronounced. A lot of people say it wrong.
Yeah, you do, but you put three S's on it.
Yes, yes. And it's, so there's a lot of extra touch involved in the heat. And, so I don't love, my dream is to be a winter actress. Because then I could, I'm fine to be a summer writer or director.
Okay, so you'll work, you'll do sort of behind the camera in the summer months and
this
then,
is
and
what
then
I,
on screen for Zhivago and the like. The great is, winter work.
First of all, exactly. Like, those hats and Julie Christie, that's a picture.
That's you want.
That's a winter picture. That's why you leave the house for acting.
Now you, because Russian Doll, which is a wonderful show, you a show you created, you shot that how close to your actual apartment?
Right. So, I run it. So, it shoots two blocks from the house. And in the dead of winter, in the middle of the night, and I wear one outfit and it's a black overcoat. So something to think about.
Now you did go to school thinking you would do film stuff, but you did not stay throughout.
Yes, yeah. That's how that's pronounced.
Throughout.
Yes.
That's like how a professor would say it. Yeah. Natasha, your grades. We're not sure you're going to stay throughout.
I see you have been to college. So here's what happened. I was like, 15, 16? And I said, all right, school, I get it. I'll try for one for Tisch. And then I'll go there, I'll be a film and philosophy double major if they accept me.
Yeah.
And I write this thing, T.S. Eliot, whatever. And they send me back some sort of a note, you're hired, or whatever colleges say. So I show
you're hired.
Up there.
When I got into college, it was a post-it note that said, you're hired.
So I show up. And I say, great, I'm 16. I think they were more 18 or so.
Yeah, that's usually what they
that's
are.
That's good for them. And then they put me in this class, and it's Cinema Studies 101. And, it was like, we're going to watch Apocalypse Now. And so I went right to the dean of admissions, and I said, now listen, I've seen Apocalypse Now. I read Heart of Darkness. I've seen the documentary Hearts of Darkness. I loved it. The horror. Of my tuition is what I said. And I said, if you think I'm gonna pay to hang out with these teenagers and talk about Apocalypse Now, if you haven't seen Apocalypse Now by this age, why are you in film school, honey? So my dream was I was gonna read all this, philosophy. I was gonna write these sort of like Bergman, but comedies and direct them. And anyway, I tried to, retroactively negotiate my way into a scholarship, they wouldn't give it to me.
Yeah, it's tough. Once you've already written them a check, they tend not to.
I never did, is
okay.
The point.
Oh, gotcha.
I left, and instead, there's a great education available to you in this city. at the Film Forum. And also, in the back of the Times, there'll be things like YMCAs, where you can go in the middle of the day with just a few, like a scattered bunch of very old people. And on a little fold-out metal chair, I would watch like all the great noir films, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where you, did you first see Gaslight in a Y, likely?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
And now this is, you know, again, obviously, just based on that story alone, we know the depth of the interesting things that have happened in your life. You believed you were you grew up in Herman Melville's house.
This is also true.
Which is an incredible thing to grow up in Herman Melville's home.
Yes, or so I thought.
How do you get that wrong, I guess?
Yeah, well, you should ask your friends at The New Yorker. Surely you've read it.
The magazine?
Yeah. I mean, they do this thing there, I guess, called fact-checking.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, who's it for? You know what I mean? We get it. You guys are smart. It's a, I don't know. College. So I guess they told me that... yes, your childhood was a sham, which I already knew.
So did you tell a reporter that you lived in
the story I was told.
Okay. And then they came back to you and said...
And I was like, well, who else is claiming Herman Melville? And are all these people running around being like, I lived in Moby Dick's house? Like, calm down. Give me one thing. And... So anyway, it turns out I did not grow up in Herman Melville's home, if that's where this is leading.
That was my gotcha question.
That's why you brought me here today, Seth. You win again.
You know what?
Yeah.
You walked in here on your high horse being like, I lived in Melville's house, but now we all know the truth.
Yeah.
Did you really watch a couple of animals like meet their demise in your home growing up? Rabbit?
Seth,
So what happened?
Well, you know, it was a rocky road, and I guess, well, my parents, I want to say they were eccentrics, but they were just alcoholics.
Okay.
And,
were you worried the New Yorker was going to fact check it?
Yeah. And then, so yeah, I guess they overfed the sheep and the rabbits, and, you know, I love animals, so.
Do you have pets now?
Of course, root beer, I'd give them any... Wow, I like that it's a root beer head. I give her a lot of snacks, but Yes, no.
That's how the sheep went? A full explosion of over...
That's what I remember. I don't know.
But you remember a lot wrong.
Yes. or too right. Too right. You know?
It was.
Yeah.
It was two rights making wrong.
Yeah, it's not as easy to get in a lobotomy as it used to be.
Oh, my God, I hope you never get one, and I hope you keep coming back. And my goodness gracious, it's such a fun show. And it's always such a delight to see you.
Thank you.
There's no one like Natasha Lyonne, everybody. New episodes of Poker Face, stream Thursdays on Peacock.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.